Let's open that, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is writing this letter to this church at Ephesus from prison. He is confined in prison, and he's writing to his brothers and sisters. And he starts off in Ephesians 1:1, and he tells us who the letter's from and who the letter's to. It said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. He's speaking to those that are sanctified of God, those that are set apart and made holy by God in Ephesus, and those that are full of faith in Christ. We ain't in Ephesus, are we? If the Lord's given you faith in Christ, this letter's to you. He goes on and says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that the Father loved, those that have been set apart by Him, saved by Him, have faith in Christ, given by Him, the faith of Christ, those are the only people that truly have peace, because that's receiving grace for the Lord to speak to us, to deal with us, to save us. And then he goes on and begins this chapter, tells us how he saves us, how we're saved. It's the work of the Father. Verse 3 through 6 tells us that God the Father chose a people in Christ before this world began. He picked them. He chose them to honor himself and make a whole nation, an innumerable nation, just like his Son. The spitting image of him. That old Southern term, spitting image, that's the slang for the spirit and the image of him. We will have Christ's spirit, and we're going to look like him and act like him. And then how'd that happen? He purposed it. Father purposed salvation, and then the Son accomplished the salvation. He purposed it. The Son purchased it. Christ's blood is what bought his people. He became our propitiation. He became what we are, and we became what He is. And we're one with Him. And then the work of the Holy Spirit goes on there and says that after we've trusted and we've heard the word of truth, verse 13, in whom you've also trusted after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you've also, after that, ye believed and ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until it's time for us to go home and shed this body of sin, this life of sin, this knowledge of sin, their memory of sin, and be holy and without blame. Made like Christ and be in His presence and worship Him as He deserves. Until then, we have this earnest. We have this down payment in our earthen vessels. We get to believe God. What a privilege. We've been set apart to know Him, to learn of Him. That's how Paul opens a letter from prison. He's in the belly of that whale up in Rome. And he says, oh, I love you. Grace to you. Peace to you, my brothers and sisters. And he tells us where grace and peace comes from. Father of purpose, the Son of purchase, and the Holy Spirit of assurance. And then he goes on to pray for them. He tells them he prays for them. He tells them how he prays for them. Let's read our text for today. We're going to be in verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He was raised from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The whole thing is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus and those that are full of faith in Christ. Who do I pray for? I want to make this message as personal as I can. I want to just talk to you this morning and tell you what little bit I know about prayer and what I see in these verses. Who do I pray for? Do you know that I pray for you? I pray for each one of you all. I make mention of you in my prayers. And just as Paul does, I urge you, pray for me. Pray for me. The Lord be with me. Give me messages and save me by His grace. It'd be an awkward prayer for most people. Lord, save my pastor. Tell him, ask him to keep me. Ask him to keep you. But I pray for you, and I pray for those that I've heard of. There in verse 1 it says, verse 15. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Paul heard of their faith in Christ, their believing Christ, and their love for all the saints. We've heard of these things, haven't we? We've heard about the baptisms taking place today in Missouri. They believe Christ and they love their brethren. I've been told that. You've been told that. I've heard of Brother Angus Fisher down in Australia. Had never met the man. Finally, I got to meet him. And I loved him even more when I met him than I did before I met him. But there's a whole congregation down there in Nara, Australia. I don't know them. Never seen them. But I know they're there. I've heard of them. Who do they believe? What do they believe? They believe a person. They believe Christ. Do they believe him and hole up down there in the outback or something? No, they gather together and support one another, love one another, pray for them. They love one another. They believe Christ and love the brethren. I've heard of them. In Ireland, there's groups there. In mean old nasty Russia and China, the Lord has a people in those countries. There's believers in Russia. There's a work there. And there's believers in China. There's a whole lot of Henry's messages translated to Chinese, and they download them. They want to hear it more. We've heard of these people. I heard of the work here in San Diego years ago. Didn't know one of you. Prayed for you. Then we heard more of you. We wept for you. And then I got to meet you. I still want to hear more of you. I said, wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Turn over to 1 John 4. That's our Lord's commandment. It's to believe Christ, love the brethren, but that's also our proof. That's an assurance for the believer. Because we can't choose what we believe. We can't choose who we love, can we? Sometimes you love people you don't want to love. In this world, sometimes the people you want to love and want them to love you can't happen. The Lord has to give. He has to give belief. He has to give faith. And he has to give love. But there in 1 John 4:7, he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. We love our brethren. If we know Christ, we love our brethren. Look down at verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? A person cannot love Christ, know Christ, and obey Christ, and not love his people. That's an impossibility. There's a couple of people I can think of in my mind, that hurts my feelings to say that. I want them to love their brethren. I want them to be the Lord's elect. They might like Scripture. They might like doctrines. And they say, I know God. I love God. Won't you come meet with us? Eh, I don't like him, folks. Won't meet with God's people? No, we'll move. We'll help you load the U-Haul. Go to North Carolina. Go where? Go to China. Believers there. Go be with them. Don't want to be with them. Don't love the brethren. The Lord said if he hates his brother and says he loves God, he's a liar. Loving God's not in him. Now back to our text here in Ephesians 1. Our master said in John 13, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Not love of the scriptures, not love acting like church-going person, not going to church. I love to go to church. If you love the brethren. Now, why would the Lord Jesus word it that way? I always said this is how people will know you, if you love one another. Because it's obvious the reason we love him, isn't it? I love my master. I love Christ. Well, there's plenty of reason why. We understand that. But it takes the power of God for one sinner to truly love another sinner. That's proof. When one of you shows me that you love me in the slightest way, in an unfeigned love, not something that's self-serving, it makes you feel better or whatever. When you truly, when you care for me out of true love, I know what I am and I know what I deserve. And if the Lord enables you, you know what I am. And you know what I deserve. You know I'm just a filthy sinner. And for you to be kind to me, for you to truly show love to me, to be generous to me, that's not something natural. The Lord has to give that. He has to give that love to us. As a believer displaying the gracious love that they were shown by God. They're shown the mercy by God, so they show that mercy to those that love God. They're being gracious to by our Lord. Now they can be gracious. They've been loved by our Lord first. Then they love him, and now they know how to love their brethren. The Lord has to give that to us. The evidence of God's love towards his people, working in them, is the evidence to others in this world that those who believe on Christ are his disciples. You still going to go to church with that man? He did some bad things. Yeah, but he loves my Lord, and I love him. She was real mean to you, that she backed into your car. That's all right. That don't matter, does it? Or verse 15, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. No matter the situation that a believer is in, if they are acting like a child of God or they are not acting like a child of God, we are to pray for one another. Look to our Lord for our brethren. And cease not giving thanks for those that believe Christ and love the brethren. No matter what the situation is. You know, to not pray, for me to not pray for you, that's a sin. Without ceasing, if I don't make mention of you in my prayers, I'm sinning against the holy God, God Almighty, if I fail to pray for you. I go to sleep, don't I? That means I'm a sinner. Turn over to 1 Samuel. We looked at this earlier in the year, but it'll be good for us to see it again. 1 Samuel chapter 12. We remember that Israel, they wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted a king. And through Samuel, our Lord spoke to them, and he said, whenever you get this king, you ain't going to be happy with it. And you're going to come back begging me to get rid of him. It ain't going to work out good for you. And they said, no, we want a king. And when they had turned from that idea, when the Lord let that come to fruition, they were shown how Saul was treating them and the sin that they committed in wanting someone to rule over them other than the Lord God Almighty. They repented and they begged Samuel to intercede for them. They come to Samuel. Now, 1 Samuel 12, verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, speaking of himself, as for Kevin Thacker, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. And here he teaches us. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. We're going to see that again here in a minute. That's what Samuel's prayer was. And to show them the good and right way is to look to the Lord. Fear the Lord. Honor the Lord. He prayed that they are brought into remembrance of the God of their salvation. Don't fall from him. Don't turn to vain things. Continue to look to the Lord. That's what he prayed for. We pray that our loved ones on this earth hear the gospel. We pray that if we have a visitor, the Lord be pleased to pierce their hearts. Give them ears to hear. Give them knowledge to know who he is. But do we pray the same way for those around us after the Lord does a work in their heart? Lord, save my children. If it's your will, if you're pleased to, teach them the gospel. And then if he's so pleased to do so, God said, well, they're fine now. Let me find somebody else. I've done it. It's easy for me to you see somebody strong in faith. The Lord gave a backbone of steel to, and I forget to pray for them. We need to pray just as fervently for our brothers and sisters that are strong in the faith as we do for the ones that are weak in the faith and the ones that ain't in the faith yet. The Lord hasn't revealed himself in them yet. How do I pray for you? I make mention of you in my prayers. I remember those that love Christ, and I remember those that love the brethren. And it's my privilege. I thank you all. I don't thank you enough. I get to make a living studying the Lord's Word. I get to consume my days, whether I'm cutting grass or down here studying. I get to consider the Lord's Word. Thank you for that. But it's my privilege to pray for you. Now, how do you think I do that? Do you think I roll out a real fancy carpet and light some candles and put a picture of you? Next thing they'll be cutting locks of hair, huh? No. If somebody said it's going to pray for me that way, I'd ask them not to. I don't know who you're praying to, but when I walk to the mailbox, I check my mail. I turn around, come back. Thomas, I thank you. I hope the Lord's with him today. I drive home from work. I pass our neighbor's house. That's where the Hodgsons were. Lord, give them grace to see you today. I pump gas. I think, Matt, you drive a long way. Brian, y'all drive quite a bit. I bet you pump a lot of gas. And while I'm pumping gas, just getting gas, my thoughts go to you. Lord, be with them. Kimberly makes brownies, I think, of Miss Willie, making pies. Children start homeschooling. Bernie, you and the girls coming to mind. It's not a ritualistic, like I'm allotting 14 minutes today. I'm going to pray for the saints and I'm whole. Well, it's mechanical, isn't it? I'm going to put on a fancy outfit. I'm going to get rid of my accent and speak, enunciate. No, you beg. And it's on your heart all the time. That's what the Lord said. This world, the Lord's not in their thoughts continually. I may not be thinking on the Lord, but if I'm thinking on you, The Lord's in you. Who am I thinking on? Thinking on Him, ain't I? And the work that He's accomplished. But those that we've heard of, those that we know love the Lord already, those we know love Him because they love the brethren, what do we ask for them? What do we pray for them? There in verse 15, just like Samuel, Paul writes, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith," and back in our text, Ephesians 1. We get there too. Ephesians 1:15. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." First thing mentioned there is the Spirit. I ask the Lord to prepare me before I get to this service. You should ask Him. You wake up on Sunday mornings, you ought to ask God, "Lord, be with me today. Give me a spirit to hear on my way to service." While when we get here and we sit down and we're quieted before the service starts and we're waiting for it to start, "Lord, be with us today." And if we have, and many times when I sit and listen to a message halfway through, I got to say, "Lord, be with me." Oh, turn my thoughts, my mind wanders. Lord, give me a spirit to look to you today. Give me the ability to hear. Then give us a spirit to apply it to our hearts. And not just hear. I hope our thoughts and words can be on the Lord Jesus after the service is over, not this world. And then when we leave, tomorrow morning when we wake up and we go about our days and go about our weeks, Lord, give us a spirit to look to you through this whole week. Ask Him. Seek the Lord. And that spirit of wisdom. We need the who and the what of wisdom. What's our wisdom? Christ is our wisdom. I need His wisdom. I need to know Him. But I need the what of that wisdom too. I need the practicality of it. Christ is our wisdom, and wisdom to live in this world as believers. Lord, give me the words to say to my family, to the people I deal with on a daily basis. Ask the Lord to do that. Lord, give one of my children come up and ask me something. Lord, give me the words to deal with that situation, to give them an answer. Give me wisdom to work hard and know when to rest. Give me the wisdom to, whenever somebody asks me a question, "Preacher, what do you think about this? What about that? You think we ought to be doing this?" Give me the wisdom to say, "What saith the Scriptures?" Give me the wisdom to look to my Lord before I go answering a question. I pray He does that for me. And it says there, revelation in the knowledge of Christ. I pray the Lord gives us revelation in His Word. When we read these Scriptures, to see what man is and who Christ is and what He accomplished. See Christ in these Scriptures. Not just stuff to do, that we see what's done. And that's a revelation. That's not a mystery we find out on our own. We study out and hash out. The Lord has to show us that. He has to reveal that in our hearts. Revelation in the knowledge. We just looked at knowledge, the foreknowledge of God. Lord, reveal your love to me. I pray that for you. I pray the Lord would reveal His love for you to you in knowing Him. I want to know Him. I do know Him, and I want to know Him more. I'll learn more of Him. And He must be revealed. I pray He does that for His people. And in verse 17 it says, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him, and, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Our eyes need to be enlightened to things we already know. I pray that for myself. I pray that for you. Paul prays it for us. Samuel prayed it for us. We're so flippant, and we can become calloused to say, "Oh, I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. We all died in Adam. Christ comes to save sinners. We learn the three R's, don't we? We know the 5 points. Lord, enlighten me to those things. Show me what I am. Bring my sin to the forefront of my mind so I can remember it. Because if not, I'm going to die. Show me the one that saved me. Christ came to the... God Almighty became a man and walked this earth. Made like we are. Made of a woman. Without sin. And He was punished on this earth. And that wasn't a drop in the bucket to God Almighty turned His back on God Almighty. He was forsook. Everything that I deserve, that I can't pay for an eternity, He bore. That's easy for me to say, oh, Christ died for our sin. Enlighten my eyes. I pray enlighten your eyes. My sin, the cross payment for sin. And my hope. So what is the hope of His calling? My hope that His finished work is done because of who He is. When He said it's finished, for me to hope, to trust, not to wish, to know, to trust that that work is done. That work of salvation is accomplished. It's finished. This world has so little hope in it. There's no hope in this world. Anything you look at, anything you touch, anything you see, it's going to be gone. El Capitan up there in the national park, all the granite slopes, it's going to go away. Go buy a brand new truck. Oh, how nice and shiny. Give it a year. It ain't so nice and shiny no more, is it? I got to get glasses this week. These nice shiny eyes ain't working so good. It's all going to perish. And ain't nothing but failure and burning and contempt and disappointment all around us. But the hope of Christ's calling. Oh, can we be brought into remembrance? How low I can get. Like Jonah said, I fainted. I passed out. I'm going to die. And I look at everything around me and all the work's done to me. If we can be, and then I remember the Lord. If we can remember the hope of our calling, Christ called a people. And He let us know about it. Oh, what something to be enlightened to. And the riches of the glory of His inheritance. That's heaven. And it's not just what that encompasses of things. People, where I'm from, they talk a lot about golden streets and kicking up gold dust and just foolishness. That's how. If I told you heaven was full of asphalt, you'd say, I don't really want to go there. That's what gold is. There. Worthless. Pave streets with it. Get a pot of old pavement back. Ain't worth nothing. Gravel. That's all it is. But our Lord said, and there's many mansions prepared. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Do you know what that is? Me neither. But it's good. I pray the Lord would enlighten our eyes that in those mansions, whatever they are, we're going to reside in those without the knowledge of sin. We won't know what sin is. When we don't know what that is to be without sin. And we'll reside there looking to our Master always in perfection, loving Him as He deserves to be loved, singing His praises as He deserves to have them sung. That's what we have coming. A body fashioned like His. Have a spirit that's like His. In a place that He made. I told you that story before. Man on a sailboat down there in the bottom rungs and with the rats and stuff. But he was going to England. He was inheriting a huge fortune. And they said, you got 10 days left to get there. I said, well, why ain't you disgusted? He said, oh, I don't care. You can put me in the bottom. You can put me on the top. My inheritance is over there. Christ is our inheritance. He's been given to us by the Father, purposed by the Father. And in a short while, in a quick vapor, and maybe on the way home today, I'll be there. To be with the person of my inheritance. What a hope. I wish the Lord enlightened my eyes in that. And then if I stub my toe down at the gas station, I won't be so upset over it, will I? It's all going to burn. Things didn't work out at the grocery store the way I wanted. It's all going to burn. Let our eyes be enlightened to. Verse 19. So, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. If we were to be enlightened to the power of God it took to save us, and that when He raised Christ from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places, proving that that work is accomplished. The power of our assurance that this salvation is real. The guarantee of our salvation. And that is right now. Do you know that? Explain that. I can't. Brother Greg Elmquist said that 20 years ago to me. He said, we're going to show up in glory when the Lord takes us home, and we'll realize we've been there the whole time. I said, boy, isn't that something? Ain't that true? Look over just right there on the next page, chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as sanctified as we are, you are holy right now. Did you know that? Perfect. Holy. Right now you're seated at the right hand of God. You're in heavenly places right now. How can that be? I don't know. It's so. That's how effective it is. He's raised us up. He's not only brought us up from sin, brought us up from death. He's raised us and to rest in Christ. To be holy like He is and to rest in Him. How far up, how high did He raise us? Look here in verse 21, Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principalities and power, and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And we are given the spirit of wisdom to look to Christ and His accomplished work. And we realize that all principalities, all powers, all dominions, and everything and everyone in this world is for our benefit and for Christ's glory. That gives us peace. I try not to watch the news. In the last month or so, I started watching a little bit. And my blood pressure starts going up. I can't imagine. Why would it? Every molecule that's floating in this room right now glorifies God Almighty. Because He's in control of every bit of it. When we see that we are a member of His body, He's the one that controls that, and we're a member of His body. What joy and comfort. Look here in verse 22. And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of all over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So Brother Gabe Stoner said, what's that mean to be part of the body? He's the head and He's the fullness of all. I don't know, but it's good. Isn't that majestic? Isn't that wonderful? We have nothing to fret because He's the head. The head of the body. We can't enter into this on this earth. But Scripture say, as He is, so are we. It's the way I am right now. I don't feel like it. I don't look like it. As He is, Christ our hope, so are we. All things are under His feet. All of our enemies are under His feet. Who's our enemies? Satan. He's been defeated. I don't have to worry about him. Sin. Me. That's been accomplished, been took care of, hasn't it? Groups of men. Christ has conquered all things. And we're a member of His body. But this is my prayer for you and all the saints. All those are filled full in Christ. That's Paul's prayer for you. And Samuel's prayer. It's all saints' prayer, isn't it? We're reminded of these things. We've been enlightened of these things. The wisdom in Him. The righteousness in Him. And the love of Christ. Lord, reveal these things to us. I didn't write this down, but if you read that I always read them backwards. If you read that backwards. Christ has accomplished everything and He's the head of His church. And then He enlightens us. Him being our wisdom. He reveals His love to us. And we understand some things. We have that. And then we profess Him. We believe Him. We know Him. And then we see those others that profess Him, believe Him, know Him, and we pray for them. See how it works? Paul always starts where he's at. Works through that. But that's my prayer for you. I hope it's your prayer for me. Lord, be with us. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts. Not just the words of that. Enlighten us to that. Crack our stone cold heart open, Lord, and be with us. I hope He's with us this morning. Amen.